There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me.
We'll do
the
our just like a check here.
The A on my chest, put your fist up.
Continuing
the A on my chest, like a chip.
Our football talk.
Theodore,
and then a little bit later, give away our tickets to give you a chance to see the Cougs versus TCU on Saturday. So, we talked some college coach movement, potential movement. Let's talk about the games that happened on Saturday. And one of the reasons I imagine Desmond Howard decided to do a walk and talk about Steve Sarkisian's fate is because of what happened in Athens. A 25-point beatdown at the hands of the Georgia Bulldogs. Pulled away in the fourth quarter. Kirby Smart with some unethical hooping with that onside kick.
That's very unethical.
Up 21-10.
They should change that rule.
Well, the NFL doesn't allow it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Hit the Longhorns with a surprise onside kick, led to another touchdown and a 28-10 lead. And, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs run away. Kirby was in his bag talking about how they love to be physical, and if you don't want to be physical, don't play at Georgia. And as we said yesterday, no one was questioning Georgia's physicality. Now, apparently there was a big recruit that Texas took from Georgia.
Yes. A defensive tackle.
So who
got like four tackles.
People who are alleging there's a lot of money made that deal happen. And Kirby talked about how it's not just about money here. We talk, it's about physicality, not just a check. Of course, Georgia pays handsomely as well. He also, in another quote, talked about how they like to schedule guys if they lead them. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to schedule teams who those guys go to because I guess you want to make them pay for looking for a better option.
Well,
I
think it was some like because they're soft for leaving us.
Yeah, they're soft.
So we want to go play a soft team.
We want to play a soft team. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, fine, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, they played Austin Peay. Did someone transfer to Austin Peay?
Yeah, I don't know
they play Charlotte this week. Who went to Charlotte?
Yeah, you have Georgia Tech on your schedule every year, so it can't be them. So I don't know. Missouri, but they're an SEC opponent.
Yeah, you don't schedule those.
You lost the guy over there, so it's just a lot of, hey, I just won a big game. I'm going to talk a lot. It's part of the Kirby Smart MO. Sark had to talk quite a bit, and we're going to play two different clips. One I referenced earlier. We'll start with that one. Oh, by the way, Texas number one on the misery index. If you couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell.
No. I mean, there are other teams that will make it, but they took a big beat down in a big game, and it stinks if you're a Texas fan.
And effectively
eliminates you from a chance. And we talk about it in the playoff sense, but it also eliminates you from eliminates you from winning a national title, which is something everybody desperately wants. And Texas looks like they won't have an opportunity this year after making two straight semifinals. Here's Sark when asked about whether they've underachieved.
What would you say the main reasons are this team is underachieved?
According to who?
Well, when you're preseason number one, I think most people would agree three losses is not achieving what you are capable of.
I mean, I guess that's into who voted us number one, okay? What I think is that this team has competed their tail off, and we have an opportunity at the end of the regular season to do something that nobody's done since 2019, and that's beat three top 10 ranked teams in the regular season. The last team to do that was LSU with Joe Burrow. So have we been faced with a pretty difficult schedule? Have we been faced with high expectations? Sure, but that's why we came here. So we'll be okay.
So that was Sark.
They can be the best team since 2019 still. 2019 LSU.
Do something that no one's done since 2019 LSU.
No, but by proxy, no other team has been as tested.
Sure.
As 2019 LSU.
You'll have.
And they handled it the same exact way.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. One considered maybe the best team of all time. Another being asked about underachieving. Let's
shout to Kirk Bowles. Good question.
Now let's go to Sark in year one, and let's hear the contrast between Sark after what has been, not to him, an underachieving year, but to a lot of people, an underachieving year. Let's go back to year one when he was all fresh-eyed and thinking about the possibilities of Texas after year one.
Right. If I was in year four of our program and I had three or four losses already right now, and I've been banging this drum of where we're going to be 4 years from now, and we still aren't there, then I would be concerned. But we're in year one. We're in the building phase of where we're headed as a program. You know, in year four, if I'm sitting here with three or four losses, then I would probably be more concerned.
What year are they in right now?
Year five.
How many losses does he have?
Three.
And he will be facing, at minimum, the number three team in the country in their final game of the year?
With an opportunity to do something yes. No one's done since 2019.
So, but he said three or four losses. They're already at three.
Yeah. Now, there's a little bit of, like, I think he meant, like, if we haven't done anything in the meantime.
Of course. They made two playoffs, yes. Yeah. But, listening to him speak, it was under the assumption that in year five, you losing three games would be a disappointment because at Texas, you're capable of much more. And not just three games. You lost to Florida on the road. That's a bad Florida team. You have a bad loss on your resume, and you also have a blowout loss to a team you would say you can compete against on a year-to-year basis in the Georgia Bulldogs. So, sure, we're holding words against them that he said in year one, but if we're just talking about the standard you said was available to the program, don't pretend like you don't know why you're being asked about underachieving. That's all.
That's the voters.
So he doesn't think they're a good football team?
Well, you know.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, he's saying a lot.
Okay.
He's just saying. I think he's saying whatever
he needs to.
Can lets him in the press conference as early as possible without saying anything while also being mean to Kirk Bowles.
Does he think the voters overrated his team? Is that what he's saying before the year started?
Maybe he thinks Kirk Bowles is an AP voter.
Hey, don't get mad at me because you're wrong about us.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not my fault.
It's very funny because there's another former Texas coach who said the same thing. Mack Brown also said the same thing. This was when he was at UNC, like more recently. But he was like, it's not our fault that they rank us in the preseason poll.
Look.
And we go 7-5 every year.
We wouldn't disappoint you if you just ranked us like you should.
It's like, that's their fault, really.
We do this every year. Just rank us like you should.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be a problem. Hey, don't rank us and you wouldn't have these problems. And neither would I.
Yeah. Big picture, though, don't love some of the Steve Sarkisian press conference stuff.
Yeah, it gets a little tough when the losses
don't like it.
Although
it's easier when he's like 11-1.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those press conferences are great.
Yeah, I don't know if anything he said is all that endearing to you because I just don't know. But it can't be fun to hear.
No, it's also like just say you underachieved, dude. Like it's I don't know what are we doing?
We know the expectations, and you haven't lived up to them. And look,
yeah, if the first availability during fall practice, they're like, hey, what if you went 8-4? Would that be good? And he goes, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if Kirk Bowles said, you guys are on track for an 8-4 season before week one, is he going to accept that?
Sure.
Kirk Bowles?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Thanks for properly rating us, Kirk. In fact,
others receiving votes on your ballot?
Yeah,
that's perfect.
You're so dead on, I'm going to call you Mr. Bowles for how good you were in that. Okay. So Texas on the list, I probably put them at one when actually I think Alabama should be one. We just had quotes from Sark. I didn't want to pull anything.
Yeah, this is more structure of a radio show.
Yeah, I didn't want to pull anything that Kalen DeBoer said because who cares? But
where's the video from Desmond Howard about Kalen DeBoer leaving? Huh?
Doesn't have any news about Kalen DeBoer leaving apparently.
All right,
Kalen DeBoer. And his offense outgained Oklahoma by nearly 200 yards. And they do all the things you can't do when you're playing a opportunistic defense, but a bad offense. You give them short fields or, frankly, just don't tackle the corner or safety when he picks you off. It led to a touchdown on the pick six. And then, of course, in the, late in the third quarter, the strip sack that resulted in the difference as Oklahoma beat Alabama 23-21. Very good performance by that Alabama offense, except, you know, not scoring and then turn the ball over. They put up yards. They didn't close out drives. They turned the ball over. Ty Simpson missed some open guys that you didn't expect him to miss. There's a Jeremy Bernard throw where he would have been open for a first down that maybe would have put him in the red zone, where he just absolutely threw it over his head. Bad throw. It was kind of that kind of day. And Alabama goes down. So Alabama now puts themselves in jeopardy. They felt like a team, considering how Oklahoma plays offensively, that as long as you don't screw anything up, just don't screw it up too bad, this probably clinches your playoff spot.
Whoops.
Instead, they screwed it up, and now they got the bane of any Alabama coach's existence. When they got something on the line, they got to go to Jordan Hare. And it almost does not matter how good or bad Auburn is. Sometimes they're so bad.
It helps.
They can't honestly. possibly beat Alabama. This Auburn defense, I think, is good enough to hold up a little. And the last time we saw them, is it Ashton Daniels, the transfer from Stanford, pushed Vanderbilt to the brink. So it's not a good Auburn team, but Jordan Hare, likely at night, we'll see. We'll see what they do with the scheduling. Is not some place you want to be when you got to win a game. And if Alabama, we'll see where they are in the CFP rankings tonight. But a third loss and it's at Auburn?
Nah. See ya.
They're out of here.
You're out of here. You're at the Cheez-It Bowl with Texas. Sorry.
You're out of here. So Alabama.
Enjoy Orlando, buddy.
So you went from not being worried about it to you got to go in there and win a game. A game you should win, but Oklahoma was a game you should win in a different way. Because Oklahoma's better than Auburn, although we saw them on the same field, and there wasn't much difference between Oklahoma and Auburn back then when they played each other.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. I was like, I know that like Oklahoma is on track to go 10-2 and make the playoff, and Auburn fired their coach 2 weeks ago. But when they played, there wasn't that big of a difference. No. And even like the large outlines of like, well, you know, really good defense, some play. I mean, they don't really have a quarterback like Mateer, although Mateer – threw for like 130 yards. Wasn't like it was that crazy of a game for Mateer. Yeah, got playmakers on the outside. You know, got Singleton, got Coleman. It's not they're not your average. You know, whatever their record is, 4-8 team.
They're 4-6 right now. They'll play Mercer in the
5-8 team.
In the
5-7 team.
The customary SEC game where it's a bye game where it isn't a bye. And then once they beat Mercer. They have Alabama for a chance to – not that bowl eligible matters as much anymore, but if you get a chance to beat Alabama and
– go to a bowl?
Go to a bowl game, no matter where it is.
Wow. DJ Durkin goes bowling?
That's an added benefit.
Gasparilla Bowl, here we come.
Whatever it takes, Auburn. Just cause chaos is what we're all looking for. And Ashton Daniels, as I said, played well against Vanderbilt and didn't play so well against Kentucky in his first start with Auburn, but played much better.
Kentucky's tough.
Well – you learned that certainly, and Vanderbilt. That's a game Auburn had every chance of winning. So Alabama needs to lick their wounds, but they went out. They're fine, but now they put themselves in the spot where a loss to their arch rival would knock them out of the playoff. I mean, it's a lot of we're very SEC centric. I mean, I could talk about the two State of Texas teams who got their doors blown off by the Utah schools. BYU. And Utah, what you did to Baylor and TCU.
Yeah. It's not – yeah.
It's not – I mean, those teams
– it's miserable. It's a miserable way to spend your Saturday night.
To get run all over by those two teams. That's not a great experience. But for our purposes, they don't really count.
And it's not like – I don't know. Do either of those jobs open up? Do Dykes or Dave Aranda?
I don't think Dykes is going anywhere. But Dave Aranda – may want to look at it and see if you since that Big 12 title when they stop Oklahoma State at the goal line, they are 6-7, 3-9, had the 8-5 year last year, and now 8-5. So, you know,
it wouldn't be crazy
under 500 in Big 12 play. Regression certainly doesn't help. I don't know if they threw a contract extension at him at some point and if Drayton wants to pay that off. I don't know, but. Who knows? If a contract extension and a buyout are in place, maybe that gives them another year.
Type in Dave Aranda on Google, first one, Dave Aranda Baylor. Okay, that's good. Second one, Dave Aranda buyout. Not good. Not good for
that. People are searching that.
how you're doing.
They go to Arizona team who's playing good, and then they have the Cougs at home. So there's a chance they go 5-7, and then we're having a different discussion.
Exceeds $12 million. Looks like the buyout number.
The Baylor people can rustle that up if they wanted to. But,
and then now it says nearly – an ESPN article says nearly 17, which does exceed 12, to be fair.
It does.
But there's Yahoo articles that say 12.
I mean, the two games they play may determine his fate. They got, as I said, at Arizona, who's playing good football right now. And then they got a Cougs team who hopefully is 9-2, trying to get to 10-2. We got to throw South Carolina on there, right? I mean, their season has been miserable from the jump. Oh, they did smack around what turned out to be a bad Virginia Tech team.
Yeah.
To start the year, but since that point, disappointment after disappointment. And Saturday against the Aggies, the greatest of all disappointments. You're up 30-3. Marcel Reed has decided not to play good football. In fact, maybe even forget how to play football. And then he flips the switch in the second half and goes, hey, don't forget about me for the Heisman. I'm going to put up historic numbers in this game. And if Colin Klein could simply just run the football, they win by probably 8 points instead. They give Carolina a chance to get in the field goal range, which they don't. But at one point, Shane Beamer is walking off the field at the half, exalting the Carolina fans, and the social media team, of course, picks it up. It's a great video for them. And after that, nothing went right.
No.
Nothing at all. It was really the 4th-and-12. It's crazy to say in a half where A&M did whatever they wanted to offensively and defensively, too. They had to get stops. But it was like 4th-and-12 on A&M's first drive of the second half. I think a big play might have been called back for a holding call. I don't remember exactly. But it was a got to have it because initially Marcel Reed and that offense looked like they thought they had to get off the field and then they were told to stay on.
Yeah, it was like I think it was a 4th-and-2 and then a hold.
They
made
it
4th-and-12.
And a hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they got that anyway.
He scrambled for a first down and that just
took, at that point, I know off. Like I know the actual win probability was still probably 2%. But mentally, I was like, okay, they have a real – like, South Carolina's going to have to score to win this game. They didn't, but they were going to have to, like, add to their total to stay ahead of A&M. Because, again, once the A&M team got rolling, they're just – I mean, it all went wrong, really, for South Carolina when those players bumped that cop who was just minding his own business.
He's saying that, but they scored – they kicked the field goal after that touchdown because
they should
Marcel
scored a touchdown.
Reed was still terrible in the first half.
They would have won if they scored a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal.
Do you think, well, yes, by the numbers, yes. But I would imagine if
the game would have played out differently.
Even if everything happened the same way up until, you know, Colin Klein decided on the trick play, I imagine he doesn't decide on the trick play if they're still down in the game.
Yeah,
he had to go get a touchdown there. Yes, it was 30-3, but it could have been 34-3. If Shane Beamer had at some point in his life figured out time management, still doesn't know how to do that. Wasted time.
This isn't what the misery index is supposed to be. Me just every person we mentioned going, is he going to keep his job?
Well,
I know that like technically you shouldn't fire Shane Beamer after this game, but I watched the game and I did not come away impressed by Shane Beamer. In fact, I came around more, like, lower on Shane Beamer after they're up 30-3.
Well, Paul Feinbaum says he just looks like a loser.
I see what he – that's aggressive,
He looks like a loser,
that's
what he said.
Something pretty wild, considering Paul Feinbaum just shows from, like, the coaches meeting, the SEC coaches meeting. Yeah. Although, maybe he's not doing it next year.
It's true. Maybe he's got a political campaign.
Yeah, and maybe if he's not doing a political campaign, well, maybe Shane Beamer's not at the coach's meeting
next
year.
Very possible as well. So Shane Beamer...
He doesn't look like a loser.
That's harsh, yeah. But he does lose a lot.
He's not very stoic when things are going wrong. You can kind of tell on his face that things are going wrong, and I think the team picks up on that.
You don't even have to have any... all you got to do is have a Shane Beamer cam. You're going to know exactly what's going on. They're 3-7. They do have... their customary bye, that's not a bye game. And then they have Clemson. Clemson, who not up to their standards. So, Coastal Carolina is actually better than a Mercer. So, maybe they lose that game. If they go 3-9.
Out.
He's got
to
go.
I think if they lose to Clemson.
Like, Coastal Carolina is not great, but they're above 500 in the Sun Belt. If he drops that game, he's out. don't even have to get to the Clemson game. Just forget about them. But, of course, if you are 3-9 and you end the year with a 7-game losing streak, he may not survive that. Look, they played LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M in order. So that's tough. That is a tough way to go about it.
That's life in the SEC, Dell.
I've heard. Not if you're A&M, it's not. They've had a relatively cake schedule compared to others. I don't think they've played the top six teams in the SEC. They will have Texas on the slate, so that'll be the first time they see one of the better teams in the SEC. And even Texas, we just talked about, on the misery index. So that's it. There are other games to get to, like Bill O'Brien blowing that game against Georgia Tech, where Georgia Tech's defense has completely fallen apart, and the Boston College team had a chance to really upset the apple cart when it comes to the ACC and just get themselves a win. Didn't get it. So if we wanted to throw Bill O'Brien and Boston College on the list, we could. That was a game that could have made the season kind of worthwhile. You beat a ranked ACC team at home. Instead, a lot of failure at Boston College continuing.
To me, the season's already worthwhile.
What's up, Trevor?
Well, for us.
It's already. Yes, I got what I needed.
For us. But for him, not so much.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. And Lane Kiffin on television right now. I'm sure Pat McAfee's grilling him, because that's what Pat McAfee does. And asking the important questions. Phil and Keith, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. But you know what? Actually, Sean, since you have to handle this, what do you think's the proper time to give away the tickets? Because you got to answer the phones.
We can do 11:30.
11:30. Okay, caller 4 at 11:30. Wins a pair of tickets to see the Cougs versus TCU. It's the Cougs' senior day. You want to see the team who doesn't need to be on the misery index because they're 8-2? That's the Cougs. Honor their seniors in their final home game as they are marching towards 10-2. They're not completely out of the Big 12 title race. It'll take a lot. But still, that team is surprised. They've entertained. That's a team that plays really good defense. So show up and show out for them for the final time this season. As Willie Fritz, who joined John and Lance this morning, has done a really good job with that program. And he's a program builder. The recruiting class is coming in. Good times ahead for the Cougs. So why not enjoy them for the final time at TDECU this year? And, of course, as I said, it's the senior game. You can call 713-GO-COUGS if you don't get the tickets from us, or go to uhcougars.com/tickets to get tickets directly. It's come early. Be loud and wear red. That's what you should do on Saturday, Cougs senior game. 713-780-3776 is the number. Caller 4. We'll give those tickets away in a minute. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. They're great, and that's where I'll start. They've got great people, and they've got great cars. That combo is going to be a good time for you when you decide on the vehicle of your choosing. Go to MonumentChevrolet.com to check out their entire inventory and see what deal fits what you're looking for. Whether you're looking for the Silverado, or maybe you're looking for something a little different like a Blazer or the Equinox or the Traverse, it's all there for you at Monument Chevrolet. And then head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. So pick the car, then see the car, and then allow the great people there to help you through the process of getting your car. Monument Chevrolet is a place you go to for great vehicles and great service. And off of Beltway 8 and 225. So they're close. Not a long trip. And it'll be a time where you spend there, and they're going to treat you great and make sure it's a quick and painless process. They don't want to keep you there for a long time. They understand you don't want to be going through the car buying experience for a long time. You want a good car, actually a great car, and you want a great experience. So MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
That movie talk will be on Friday. Sean will be out there too. I talked with Maria Sonandas in Cyprus. Michael will be here, but he'll join us. Talk about what you should or shouldn't watch. I'm falling behind. This is what happens when I read books. I'm not watching TV. I know, right?
Missing out.
Instead of instead of catching up on Pluribus and watching the latest Welcome to Derry episode, I'm out here reading the second book in a series. I mean, what's going on? It's embarrassing. It helps with...
Bet you haven't even seen The Running Man.
I probably won't see that movie. I'm not looking for
it. It's okay.
See, I'm not looking for okay if I go to Siegel and Powell. Whatever. It's fine. I mean, Michael Carroll pretty much said that when he joined us last Friday. You know, when I tell some people I'm reading, they're like, oh, that's great. Others are like, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
I tell myself, I'm that person. What am I doing that for? All right, let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on the show. Love the show. Just 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, Cam Scadabo's ankle was bent and cracked and broken into another zip code. He has his surgery. And then, you know, you expect him to lay low, recover, rehab, heal, rest. Saturday night, he's at the UFC fight. Sunday night, he's at the Giants game. Last night, he's getting into altercations in row one at WWE Raw. What are Giants ownership, trainers, coaches thinking about this? Is this just who Cam is? Because this feels like pretty dangerous situation when you have a huge boot on your leg, right?
Well,
you can't be getting fights at WWE. Well, you have to restrain yourself.
It does appear that all he did was like go face to face with one of the performers. So let's.
I think there's a shove. There's some shoving.
Let's just assume all of it was planned.
What?
Yeah. And I would say Cam Scadabo, for all the popularity, is a fourth round running back. Really, who cares if he's at the fine, whatever.
No.
He's a fourth round running back.
If Woody Marks dislocated his ankle and 2 weeks later he was at WWE, we would be talking. No, we would not love it.
We would be talking about it, but I wouldn't be like, should Texans management be concerned? He's a fourth round running back. I mean, he's a dime a dozen.
I'd be worried
about what? He can't play.
Aggravating with that scumbag, Dominic Mysterio.
Who appeared on ESPN this morning. I saw that. The Giants drafted Cam Scadabo. They know what he's about.
That is also the thing of like,
don't try to.
If you're just tell me a NFL running back was involved at Raw at some point during the season, off season, it opens it up for a lot. During the season, I'd be like, Cam Scadabo. Probably.
Yeah, don't try to pull him back. Don't pull the reins back now. That's who he is. You drafted him. You know what he's about. And he just stood there and got shoved. Like, he's got the stabilizing boot on, right? Big deal anyway.
I mean, there's no way that that's the most, I guess, strenuous thing that he's done while in a boot. Like, he seems like a guy who would get more hurt while hurt, you know?
It feels... Or in some ways, I don't know if he gets hurt, but less concerned about the injury being reaggravated. He'll just go about his life, wear the boot, and just keep it moving.
Yeah.
He got
shot. Like I saw him on the scooter.
I imagine those are other Giants players standing next
to
him.
Yeah, there's a whole section of
whatever.
Them.
Whatever. Stop.
They're just trying to enjoy the show. And then
Dominic Mysterio causes a problem.
And Judgment Day. God. Those guys. Someone needs to take care of those guys.
Maybe Cam Scadabo is that guy.
At SummerSlam?
Are they setting up Cam Scadabo versus these guys at SummerSlam? I don't know. Keith, really stretching things to get that call in. I mean, what are we doing here? Am I concerned about Cam Scadabo or the Giants? No. Stop it.
He could have stopped there. Are you concerned about Cam Scadabo and the Giants? No, not particularly.
Not at all. I hope everything works out for him. But look, if he becomes someone who makes appearances at WWE events and not just sits in the crowd like Cooper DeJean does and just becomes a regular, like, cast member.
Yeah. Like
it's in the cards.
Tyrese Halliburton. Or Tyrese Halliburton's just always there.
Yeah, it's in the cards where Cam Scadabo, I can't believe he has a big enough name that people care that he's at a WWE
event. It was at MSG.
It makes sense. Like if he shows up at a major, like, pay-per-view, are people going to care? Has he reached that level
yet? I mean,
yet?
People, like, if it was just in, like, Kansas City or, you know, just pick a random city that hosts WWE, probably gets, like, light applause, but nothing, like,
you know,
crazy.
The play-by-play guy, whoever that is now. I don't know who it is.
Joe Testor.
Does he do that? Okay. Okay, I was thinking, like, Michael Cole or whatever. I don't know.
I think they They split nights.
Like when you're doing it on television, you go, "That's Giants running back Cam Scadable."
That's exactly
to sell
what
it to sell it. But I don't know if his face is so recognizable that the guy who does it for the arena won't have to announce it. Hey, if you don't know who that is,
That's
Giants running back Cam Scadable getting into an altercation with Dominic Mysterio, like to explain to people for them to care. Oh, that guy plays in the NFL? Okay, yeah. Now I guess I care.
Yeah, I think in New York, he has enough cachet, but if you take that act to, I don't know, to Phoenix, I don't know if people
Well, they might know. He's
they might know of
it.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
He played Arizona State.
Yeah, damn it. Wrong.
Yeah, wrong city.
Seattle.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, some guy in a random Rangers throwback is getting in a fight with some wrestlers. That's what it looks like to me if I didn't know anything about football.
Some short guy.
Yeah, hey, remarkably short with apparently bodyguards behind him, who turns out...
Yeah, that's like Giants, Abdul Carter.
who had to acknowledge that he missed a practice. Good work by Abdul Carter. Hey, just a mistake.
Whoops.
Sorry about that. Let's get to Phil. He wants to talk some SEC and Texans, and then we'll go to break. What's up, Phil?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? So the SEC take, do you think on the part of the original or the legacy SEC teams, there's a little bit of buyer's remorse with letting all these, you know, these other teams join? I'm thinking mainly, you know, Alabama losing to Oklahoma. Is that, do you think that's a thing at all, or do you think that, you know, this new parity is kind of what they wanted?
I don't think they have buyer's remorse. Now, Oklahoma has beaten Alabama 2 years in a row, so maybe in some part of their
heart. Kept them out of the playoff last year.
They put them at risk again if they lose another game. So maybe someplace, but, you know, Greg Sankey will just say, hey, the bigger the better, the money's more. You brought in two big-name programs who will help the profile, and it just makes everyone more money. And it feeds the narrative of we're the best conference, we play the best, it's most important that we play each other. I don't think there's buyer remorse from the big name, the guys who make all the decisions. You know, maybe Kalen DeBoer would have preferred not to have to play Oklahoma after going through the schedule he has to go through. But that's the business they've chosen. The money means more challenges. And look, honestly, Alabama was much better on the day play-for-play. They just made too many mistakes, and that's why Oklahoma's going to jump them tonight in the rankings. You have something about the Texans?
Thursday night is going to be their second primetime game of the season, right? They played Seattle on Monday night.
Sure.
Can you remember another season where they had two primetime games? I don't know if I can remember that.
I mean, I guess I think they've done it. I'm trying to think even back to last year because they played the Jets on Thursday night, right, last year. They played the Bears on Sunday night last year. That's where we got the big bro game. And they've played
– Oh, yeah.
They've played standalone games last year. It wasn't prime time, but they played the Netflix game on Christmas. So they've had their moments, particularly with CJ. His 2023 year led to a lot of attention in 2024. They've done it before. I mean, they don't have great records. It's just the history of the team, not the farewell. D'Amico's kind of average in these games. We'll see if he can pull one out with, it looks like, Davis Mills. Yeah, I remember them. They just haven't been, like, great results for the most part.
That I think that's the thing, is that a lot of times it's, like, games you want to forget. It's, like, hugely embarrassing. Like, even that Jets game, it was on Halloween last year. Just terrible, awful. Terrible. It was, like, kind of the Kenyon Green, like, we got to quit this game. And then I think he got hurt.
He did.
In that game, or if not in that game, like, early the next game?
He got hurt in that game. I think he was coming off an injury from a previous game.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
And then he got hurt again. CJ, I think he almost fell on CJ. It was a bad night all around. Look, the Texans have had their games. They played the Lions on Sunday night last year as well.
Oh, yeah. They got five picks against
and still Jared lost.
Oh,
still lost.
You know.
That was following the Jets' loss. So, yeah. We don't like them in these situations, but they do get them. So be prepared, Phil.
There was like 5 years where they didn't get them. There was a stretch.
They were bad.
There's
so I get what he's saying. But recently, as I said.
And even in the like Bill O'Brien AFC South champs years.
You get a one.
Obligatory like. Yeah, they probably will go 9-7. So
let's put them on. Yeah. And even in CJ's first year where they weren't getting any, they got a winner. The winner
takes
all
game
against the Colts. So being a team with a good young quarterback will lead to these moments. Of course, they can't plan, at least the networks can't plan for CJ not to be available. Just will be the case on Thursday, it looks like, and hopefully Davis Mills gets the job done. Because the Bills' defense isn't good. Where you test them is with their run defense. The Texans, unfortunately, that's a weakness against weakness. We'll see which one wins out there. The offense against the Bills' defense, and then how do you contain Josh Allen? That'll be part, well, should be really the only game plan as far as playing the Bills. And they can run the football, too. So that'll be a test for that Texans' defense. Can they stop James Cook in that run game? Or will Josh Allen have to be Superman to win it for them? So be prepared. It's on Prime, everybody. Are they going to give us the local flair? Not a local broadcast, but put it on network television because it's a local game.
I forgot if they still do that.
I don't know if they do that with Prime. Yeah. But either way, we'll be ready. We'll see if the Texans can get a win. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment here to go. 713-780-3776. That's the number to join us before we wrap it up. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, last segment. Let's get to David here. He wants to talk some college football. We got some time for you guys to follow up if you want, but let's get David here. What's up?
Hey, man, just wanted to give a shout-out to my alma mater, Lamar University, number 19th-ranked team in the nation, beating two nationally-ranked teams. And if they beat McNeese Saturday, they're finally in the FCS playoffs.
Appreciate it. We don't, as you might imagine, get Lamar calls, but if they're going good, not a bad time to acknowledge them. Yeah, I don't remember a lot of Lamar, as you might imagine, on television, and certainly not in the FCS playoffs. That's usually been a Sam Houston State joint as far as local teams to be there. They got McNeese at 3 p.m. at home, and let's see if they make it. And with your call, that means while I probably won't be watching a game, I will go take a look and see how Lamar does if they can get that win. They're 8-3 right now, 5-2 in conference, and we'll see. They did just lose to Stephen F. Austin, so they need to bounce back and get McNeese. Apparently, it's called the Battle of the Border, Sean. I was unaware that this was a rivalry game and it had a name in the Southland Conference, but.
That makes sense. It's Beaumont versus Lake Charles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's Lake Charles, a second home for us.
Yeah, in second some home. Ways. Second home. So I drive past Lamar.
So what are we rooting for? Lamar is Texas, and it was a school I almost went to.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had such a close personal tie.
Yeah. So close that I almost went there.
You almost went there?
Yes. But I spend all expenses paid. In Lake Charles.
But not anywhere near McNeese. I could not tell you how to get to McNeese.
No, I couldn't either. So how do I...
I'm going with Lamar. I'm going with David. He took time out of his day to call in.
Yeah, no McNeese grads are calling.
Yeah, get with it.
So this show is rooting for Lamar.
Yes.
Unless...
Lamar University.
Yes, Lamar University. Let's be official.
Not high school.
Is that a rivalry that you have? That
no.
You just clarify.
I just want to clarify. Memorial can get in here.
Okay.
Belair can get in here.
True. Lamar University we're rooting for. Unless McNeese comes with a better call or offer, then maybe we can be bought. But right now, we're rooting for David's squad to win and get in the playoff. Hopefully that happens for them. It'd be historic, and that's always good to see. All right. Some news we haven't mentioned. Off-season surgery or we can call it a procedure, for Jose Altuve. He had a foot issue that was bothering him, so he has some surgery on his foot. It was to relieve discomfort So it wasn't a major thing. He underwent a minor skin aspiration yesterday, but he will be ready for the start of training camp. So that's good, right? No worries. The Astros never underpromise or anything or overpromise on their timelines. So thankfully, the Altuve thing seems to be just minor. He had to remove some fluid from a wound between his fourth and fifth toe. Apparently, it happened back in September 13th. That was where the discomfort was at least officially announced. And he missed some time after that, a day.
A skin aspiration?
A skin aspiration.
Aspiration.
Yes. So just had to remove some fluid from a wound.
Sounds yucky.
They probably didn't even put him to sleep.
Yeah, probably a local anesthetic thing.
Get that fluid out of there and keep it moving. So hopefully Altuve will be just fine. Of course, the Astros said they were looking into their return to play procedures. So if I find out he lost a toe, then I know things haven't changed that much. All right, let's get to Dave before we go. What's up, Dave?
Hey, first, wish our Altuve a fast recovery, greatest Astro ever.
Definitely.
My question for you, I have not listened to the morning show the last couple of days or your show. I haven't gotten to it, but I wonder, have you guys talked about the Mike Elko contract extension? And my thought on that is like, man, these guys never seem to learn, you know? I mean, they're still paying Jimbo Fisher, and I get it that Elko's having an unbelievable year, but, you know, these guys, it can turn. Look how fast it's turned on Sarkisian already. And, you know, this Elko kind of strikes me a little bit. He's got a little bit of a Bill O'Brien vibe to him, you know, and dealing with the media sometimes. He's a little chippy. You know, this kind of guy might wear out his welcome at some point. And then they're going to be paying two guys $20 million a year not to coach their football team. Or do they just feel they had to with all these big openings right now, with all these big programs? I just wanted to see what you thought about that. So I missed it.
Thank you, Dave. We didn't talk about it yesterday, but we've alluded to it on the morning show about this coming down for the last couple of weeks, that the Aggies are going to do it. This is what they always do. They pay a guy when they don't have to. I saw somewhere that I think Elko, or at least his representative, I forgot how the quote came about, that the discussion was for them was, as soon as they saw that the Aggies administration was willing to invest fully, then there's no place else they'd rather be. What do you mean? When you found out they're willing to give you a giant extension and a raise, is that what you meant by invest fully? Because
now I'm ready to
did it, because it couldn't have meant facilities, right? The Aggies don't lack there.
Yeah, NIL. Finally, they start spending on NIL.
The Aggies are finally doing what's right to acquire players. So I imagine that was just a way of saying when they finally showed us that they were willing to up our pay and extend us, then we were thinking to ourselves, there's no place else we'd rather be. To answer your question, do they feel like they had to? I guess. I don't know that Mike Elko was going anywhere, but the simple thought of your undefeated coach entertaining an offer from one of these big-name schools was enough. We assume that LSU might have come calling just because he's having a great year, but I don't know that.
He went to Penn, and Penn State
is
open,
is out there. By the way, we had not mentioned yet that James Franklin is now the Virginia Tech head coach. So Virginia Tech targeted a guy. They had an opening early, and they got their guy. That's a big name for a program looking for some stability and just some name brand recognition, because they had lost it over the last 10 to 12 years or so. So they get their guy there. But as far as, yes.
For Elko, what they need to do, make sure they put in offset language. That's really where they went wrong with Jimbo Fisher.
They need to do it. Yes.
Talking about James Franklin to kind of loop them in. It was reported $49 million buyout. Well, now with him getting the Virginia Tech job, that will pay him around $40 million now, or not per year, but $40 million for the next, $10 million for the next four. Now the buyout for Penn State is only $9
million.
And it's much less newsworthy, much less headline grabby that they're spending $50 million to get rid of a guy. They're really spending nine. The problem with Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M didn't have offset language in there. So he's fully guaranteed getting paid as if he were still coaching to this day.
Yeah, Franklin does his $9 million up front. The Aggies, I don't know.
Up front. Cash, please.
I don't know what they put into the contract, but protect yourselves. We're not predicting Elko's, and it's going to turn. By the way, Mike Elko will join us on the John Land Show tomorrow.
You should ask him. You should ask him about that.
Probably not going to be asked. I would say,
Coach, people have asked, are you sure you're worth the money?
No, people have asked. Did the Aggies?
They asked that after the second half of Saturday, yeah, by the way, not the first half.
It was perfect to suggest at the moment. Did the Aggies make a mistake right as that contract was being officially
official? For like half a quarter,
official,
I contemplated.
And they're like, wait a minute, this is perfect for the Aggies to give all that money to a guy who's going to lose a game to South Carolina in this fashion. But he didn't. He won. And we'll hear from him at 8:15 tomorrow. Just hopefully they protected themselves to avoid a scenario where it goes bad really quickly and now you're stuck.
Coach, do you have offset language in your contract?
Did the Aggies...
Great win on Saturday.
It's not. I wouldn't ask him about his offset language. I would say, hey, did the Aggies protect themselves from you?
From if they had to fire your ass
in
3 years?
Yeah. Hopefully that is not the case. They're in the middle of a great run. Of course, Texas is coming up, so the rivalry game always looms large. We're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Nah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.